America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. President Bush, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon say they have taken the first steps in the Mideast peace process. Bush said both sides will make concessions in order for the roadmap to work.
All sides will benefit from this achievement, and all sides have responsibilities to meet. As the roadmap accepted by the party makes clear, both must make tangible, immediate steps toward this two-state vision.
Speaking through a translator, Abbas said the violence must end.
The armed intifada must end, and we must use and resort to peaceful means in our quest to end the occupation and the suffering of Palestinians and Israelis.
Experts say there were no major breakthroughs, but this is the beginning of a three-step process outlined in the so-called Roadmap to Peace. A team of UN experts is on the way to Iraq to determine how much nuclear material was looted from a storage site near the country's main nuclear facility. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has launched a campaign to refute allegations that it tried to mold intelligence findings to support the idea that Iraq's weapons of mass destruction posed an imminent threat before the war. Domestic diva Martha Stewart reportedly will be indicted by a New York federal grand jury today. CBS News reports that an announcement of the indictment on charges of insider trading, obstruction of justice, and making false statements is expected at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The NTSB says young, inexperienced drivers and cell phones are a dangerous mix. The board is recommending that the young motorists not be allowed to use cell phones. The panel also wants to implement an ad campaign reminding people that distracted drivers are dangerous drivers. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 87 points, the Nasdaq up 21 points, and the S&P up 10 points.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read your bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
Better headache relief. Advance to Advil.
Entertainer R. Kelly is expected in court today regarding recent travel plans. The music star has been accused by prosecutors of abusing his travel privileges while on bail as a result of child pornography charges. Cook County Judge Vincent Gannon permitted Kelly to leave Illinois for business only. Critics are claiming that 3 tax cuts in a row will cause middle-income taxpayers to shoulder the greater share of all federal taxes by the end of the decade. The Washington Post reports some analysts insist the tax cuts will be bad for the country in the future.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Chicago Cubs slugger Sammy Sosa apologized to his teammates and fans in Major League Baseball for using a corked bat in last night's game at Wrigley Field. In a press conference following the game, Sosa told the media that he picked up the wrong bat and didn't know there was cork in it.
I want to apologize first to my teammates, the fans, and Commissioner of Baseball, Major League Baseball. What happened today, and that was something that meant to me to happen. I just took the wrong bat.
Sosa could face suspension of several games. In 1997, Los Angeles' Wilton Guerrero was suspended for 8 games for an illegal bat. An 18-year-old high school student from the Dominican Republic has been crowned the new Miss Universe. Amelia Vega emerged the winner from a field of 70 pageant hopefuls, including Miss USA Susie Castillo of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Castillo made it to the final 15 before being eliminated last night in Panama City, Panama. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite. Sirius is standard equipment now on Ford, Chrysler, and many other cars. And the new satellite radio system, we're channel 145, and also broadcasting live on the internet from www.ieamericaradio.com and radiopower.org. And welcome to our program today. Martha Stewart was just hit with 4 indictments for, as I recall, making a $40,000 profit on some insider information. Where's Ken Lay? Of course, Ken Lay never slept in the White House, didn't have his own private office in the White House. I'm sorry, Martha Stewart never slept in the White House, didn't have her own private office in the White House, and didn't give George Bush her corporate jet for a substantial percentage of his campaign flights in the 2000 election cycle. So I guess she gets to be fish food. Martha Stewart, off she goes. Can we trust large corporate control of the news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? Our question for this first hour. If you'd like to be in our chat room, we've got a bunch of folks in there already talking. If you just go to tomhartman.com, T-H-O-M-H-A-R-T-M-A-N-N.com, click on the link to the radio program, and then there, click on the link that says chat room. That'll take you to the International Trade Forum and CompuServe. We're going back to that as our chat room because it's so much more resilient and holds together. We're not using the chat room on the IE America radio website, so it's better to go through my website to get to it because it points right to that link, and it's kind of a complicated link. And if you're not a member of CompuServe or AOL, you can sign up. There's no charge, no credit card necessary, and all that kind of stuff. You just get a screen name. And that'll pop you into the chat room. So you're welcome to participate in the conversation there. If you'd like to call the program, if you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Just quickly looking over some of the emails that we've gotten and some of the messages that have been posted on the message board on the TomHartman.com website. There's both a message board and a chat room. The chat room is live and interactive. The message board is a place where you can post a message and everybody can read it. There's about 20,000 messages right now on the message board. Here in email, I got an email from Music Crossing saying, "Our leaders are working hard to protect the fabric of the U.S. flag while burning more and more little holes in the Constitution it represents. We need a new preamble to more accurately reflect the content, something like, 'We, the CEOs of the United States, in order to form a more perfect company store, establish ATM fees, ensure domestic fear, provide for the corporate defense, destroy welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Well, interesting music. I submitted a piece today to commondreams.org. We'll see if they run it this afternoon. I don't know. I mean, they, you know, every piece isn't perfect, but commondreams.org is a great news source, and it's about my belief that, number one, we are confronted by substantial challenges right now in the United States. The economic challenges, the political challenges, the military challenges, all of these things. And yet, I believe that this is a time of crisis for our nation. It's a decision, a pivotal turning point in our nation's history. And yet, I believe that we're going to come out of this well. Because that archetype, that core belief in liberty and freedom and independence, the idea that there is something extraordinary and sacred about a government that derives its authority, its power, from one single source. And that source is not hereditary lineage like in kingdoms, and that single source is not the blessing of the gods as in theocracies, and that one single source is not great wealth as in feudalism, but that one single source is the consent of the governed. This is the extraordinary experiment of America, and I am convinced that we're gonna pull back from this detour that we've been taking essentially since the early 1980s into a realm of feudalism or neo-feudalism, of corporate takeover of our government, and we'll be back eventually to a time when statesmen, or whatever the gender-neutral variation of that word is, are running our government rather than hack politicians who are acting purely on the behalf of corporations. Another message was posted to our website and to the message board. This is from John B., who is in Indiana. He says, although I'm a relative newcomer to your website, articles, and philosophical standpoints, let me say it's so refreshing to find someone who believes as I do and can express it so clearly and coherently. Considering the area of the country where I live in Indiana, opportunities to commiserate with like-minded folks are far and few between. But I digress. Back on point, after reading your articles and digesting the bounty of what you put into them, I feel myself both enlightened and apprehensive, as many others on the forum may agree. And he goes through some of the details of that. And then he says, with big media in the comfortable position of having the party they want in control, along with big money, what feasible way is there to correct this in 2004? Simply put, considering the neo-fascist environment in which we now live, how is it possible to beat Bush? Well, actually, you know, I continue to hope and pray that George Bush will actually have an awakening and realize that dancing to corporate paymasters is not democracy. And, you know, regardless of how the 2004 election goes, maybe he could return to the principles of at least Dwight Eisenhower and Teddy Roosevelt, the people who, in my opinion, truly were conservatives. But lacking that, as I said, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for hope. You know, there's the 100th monkey principle, the idea that there was this island off the coast of Japan, and some researchers were working with these monkeys, rhesus monkeys, I think they were, and they taught one tribe of monkeys how to, or actually, I guess one of them just started. They would throw sweet potatoes to them down by the seashore, and one of the adolescent monkeys started washing them in the ocean. And pretty soon all the monkeys were washing their food in the ocean. Thought it was a cool thing to do. And then the researchers noticed that 100 miles away, on another island, suddenly all the monkeys started washing their food in the ocean. And Ken Keyes wrote a book about this called The 100th Monkey. There have been many other cases, actually much more well-documented. Some suggest that this was actually an apocryphal story. But Rupert Sheldrake has written entire books about similar things. He calls it morphogenesis or morphic resonance. The idea that when enough people get an idea, it becomes infectious. Thought viruses, memes. And I think the idea of democracy, which was once a powerful and infectious thought virus in the United States, is coming back. The old Leonard Cohen song, Democracy is Coming to the USA, I think it's coming back. Sawdust in Florida has a contrarian view. He says, Actually, liberal radio has a couple problems. Most of my liberal friends would rather listen to music, for starters. The second is the liberals don't have any ideas that are fresh and resonate with the American public. They tried Hillary Care in the early 90s, and that was unpopular. They're dragging it out again. They seem to spend the rest of their time being negative about the Republicans, which is so uninspiring it turns off voters. I would say, in response to that, first of all, Rush calls Hillary Care, which was not at all, was supported by almost 70% of the American public until the insurance industry, which was going to be the big loser in this case, launched this multi-hundred-million-dollar advertising and lobbying campaign, over 300 trips for members of Congress. But mostly the lobbying thing, they had this set up so well that when the talk show hosts talked about this, they would put out a telephone number. People would call that phone number. They would get one of the lobbying agencies for the insurance industry who would take the call and say, well, thank you for calling. Yes, I know you're upset. You're afraid that you're going to lose control of what doctor you can pick. And they would push a button and connect that person with the office of their congressperson. I mean, this is incredibly well organized, very expensive. And it was based on a lie. The Clintons were never suggesting that the government should be able to choose who your doctor is. Their proposals were mild and modest compared to some, like the Gephardt's proposal. So, in any case, that has been completely, it's the big lie theory. You know, the history has been completely reinvented in that case. And then he goes on to say, they seem to spend the rest of their time being negative about the Republicans, which is so inspiring it turns off voters. I agree. And to the extent that I have done that, I intend to do it much less. I don't think that we stand tall by cutting off the heads of others. And he goes on, now they have spent so much energy whining about the Bush tax cut that they're going to have to say to the American people, vote for me and I'll raise your taxes. That'll go over well. Well, actually, Sawdust, it did go over well once before in the United States, and we're going to talk about that in our second hour today. What happened? What was the populist revolution in the United States? Why did 36 states, the citizens of 36 states, vote to ratify the constitutional amendment, the 16th Amendment, to tax themselves? Why? Doesn't seem like it would be possible in today's environment, but it actually was a huge issue that on which presidential elections turned. So he goes on to say the Democrats have been outmaneuvered and have no fresh positive ideas. I disagree. I think that there are many positive and fresh ideas out there on the Democrat side and also on the Republican side. I think that there are some good Republicans out there. There are some excellent Greens. There are some excellent progressives. There are some good libertarian ideas. I think that we can pick and choose amongst all of them, frankly. But that's my independent streak bias, I guess. Then also Gao Kiki in California says, Tom, if you read this, there are a bunch of us in the chat room who don't know what you're talking about. Perhaps we're on a ghost server or something. I think we're fixing our chat room problems. Just going back to the trade forum on CompuServe. If you go to TomHartmann.com, it'll take you there. Go to the radio show. And then finally, the Bush administration, this is from Gao Kiki in California, the Bush administration claims it's only defending the United States against preemptive strikes. Does this sound like The Matrix, where they arrested people for crimes they haven't committed yet? Yeah. And then Klaus, who is, I lost the second page, I don't remember where Klaus is. He says, Tom, I'm flattered that you find some of my ideas I toss out as worthy to mention on your radio program. I am humbled as I cannot pretend to have any of the answers, and I would not seek a national, let alone global celebrity or reputation beyond that, which inevitably comes with participating in the forums. Anyhow, just feeling that I must be clear that my views do not necessarily reflect anyone's other than my own, especially in the region, in the context of the region or my name. Same here. My views do not reflect the radio station you're listening to this on, or the network that is carrying it, or anybody other than mine. And I think that's a good thing. Welcome to America. Can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? There's a bunch of different issues that are related to this. Just as a starting point, just as a little teaser here to give you something to think about, and then we'll dig into this a little more deeper after the break. An American online survey, this is AOL Time Warner, they did a survey of people's computers, and they found that 91% of broadband users' personal computers have spywares, which tracks their web browsing movements for advertising. 91% of our computers have spyware on them. Is this the beginning of something? You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program, where we don't get our talking points from right-wing think tanks. Stick around. We'll return in just a few minutes.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. It's about 25 minutes after the hour, and if you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Ken in Massachusetts has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Ken, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Yeah, I'll get even better than that. I want to bring up, you know, the argument about liberal talk being all negative. To me, that's a bit of a straw man argument. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, they spent the 90s with Hate Clinton Radio. In fact, they're still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really quite remarkable what folks on the left can't get away with. I mean, Dick Cheney's company just paid a multi-million dollar fine for criminal wrongdoing that happened when he was CEO. This was just in the last few weeks. And can you imagine? I mean, they spent millions of dollars investigating whether Bill Clinton had broken the law with the Whitewater deal 30 years earlier in a $300,000 real estate development deal, found out he did nothing wrong. But they spent $30 million investigating it. If he had broken the law to the tune of a $7 million fine, can you imagine what they would have done? I mean, they would have gone rabid. And yet there's nothing out there.
And
nobody's
even more plugged in than probably most of your typical public via the net and such. What you just mentioned, I haven't heard it. Why haven't I?
Well, it was in the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to be getting to it today. But it's a little tiny story, you know, down at the bottom of the page.
Something that liberals supposedly have no new ideas. Well, most of the conservative ideas you can track back to Know-Nothings, Confederates, and the Tories. So these are things that we've been arguing about since the beginning of the nation and even before. So once again, that's a straw man argument.
Yeah, in fact, this is a point that I make in the piece that I submitted to Common Dreams today, is that the modern conservative movement really started with John Adams and Alexander Hamilton, suggesting that there should be a governing elite which had power and privilege separate from what John Adams called the rabble. And Adams passed the Alien and Sedition Acts when he was when he was president in 1797, as I recall, or 1798, one of those 2 years. And when he signed these, and this was like Patriot II, I mean, the Alien and Sedition Acts were really nasty. And, in fact, there was a guy in Vermont, here in the state where I live, who was the first person arrested under the Alien and Sedition Acts. And this guy was dragged, he was marched through town in handcuffs and dragged off and thrown in prison for 2 years because he published an editorial in a newspaper he owned criticizing John Adams for having too much, quote, pomp and ceremony, end quote, as president. That worldview of the conservative privileged elite ruling by virtue of wealth, power, and a genetic superiority of some sort, or something like this, you know, the white male in power notion. It's bizarre, and it has been here in this country for 200 and some odd years, and it is ultimately destructive to democracy. Pardon the rant there.
Oh, no problem. I enjoy listening to you rant.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, thanks for dropping by our radio home here, Ken. I appreciate your call very much, and thanks for calling from Massachusetts. Back to, can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? Let's look first at what happens when we have small businesses. There's an interesting study that was published on the website ReclaimDemocracy.org. This is one of my favorite websites. It's run by a guy named Jeff Milchen, who was one of the leading activists in the Caskey versus Nike case that we talked about a month or so ago. And they, on ReclaimDemocracy.org, they've got this marvelous study that was done by Civic Economics in Austin, Texas, about the impact of local control on businesses. I'll tell you about that as soon as we come back from this break. Stick around. We'll return in just a few minutes. This is Tom Hartman on the iAmerica Radio Network.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Members of the Graphics Communications International Union and Unite came together for a joint rally outside a convention at the Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco yesterday. Inside, the world's largest commercial printer, Quebecor World, was presenting an award to Cintas, a Cincinnati-based laundry and uniform company.
Quebecor says that everybody in America touches a Quebecor product once a day. We think it's time that everybody in America hears how Quebecor is treating workers.
Jennifer Love of the AFL-CIO says that Quebecor World often refuses to bargain with its unions.
This is a great moment when one anti-union company is rewarding another. Quebecor World is sponsoring a luncheon at the annual catalog conference, which is honoring catalogs, one of which is produced by Cintas Corporation.
With its 17,000 production workers at more than 300 plants, Cintas is the largest provider of uniform rentals in the nation. And according to Leah Rothstein of Unite in Northern California, it's also among the most anti-worker.
They spend tons of money fighting unions. They hire consultants. They intimidate. They fire. They threaten their workers to stop them from unionizing.
Both unions say they'll keep up the pressure until both companies change their ways.
British resistance to a proposed European Union Charter of Labor Rights is gaining strength. The Confederation of British Industry, one of the country's largest business lobbies, says a provision in the charter requires that all temporary workers be afforded the same pay and benefits after 6 weeks on a job. Speaking for its members, who employ more than 6 million British workers, the CBI says such a right would lead to hiring freezes and job cuts, as it would take the value out of short-term employment. Last week, the British government announced it would block the implementation of an EU Bill of Labor Rights if the rights of workers to organize and strike were not deleted from the charter.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We've got just a few short of a dozen folks sitting in our chat room. If you go to TomHartman.com and click on the radio show link, and then click on, and that'll take you to the radio show homepage. You can click on the chat link, and that will take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. And once you get there, you click on the chat button. And the consensus seems to be that Martha has been indicted because she is female and successful. And I suspect that you're right. A couple of folks said this is why they're also going after Hillary. Successful women. This is so unfortunate. I mean, not that Martha's been indicted. I mean, maybe that's the right thing. I don't know. But that folks like Ken Lay, these rich white guys who are well connected to the White House, are just walking. Our question for the hour, can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, and honest? Now, looking, first of all, at small companies and small businesses, how they are affected, what effect small businesses have on a community. Civic Economics, a company in Austin, Texas, a research firm, did this study of two bookstores, Book People and Waterloo Records, and compared them to a Borders Books and Music store. And they were just looking, this isn't like, you know, one company's good or bad or anything like that. It was just looking at the impact of circulating dollars in the community. Because what happens is when you buy something local at a local business, three things happen that don't happen when you buy something at a chain business where the money goes out of state. In a local company, because they tend to be somewhat less efficient than large national companies, that is to say, Walmart can do all of their purchasing for all of their stores all across the United States out of one office, whereas every single little mom-and-pop competitor of them has to have its own purchasing person. So there's an economy of scale there. So on a dollar-sold basis, small local companies tend to hire more people. So they generate more local revenue. They employ their own ad writers, their own buyers, their own accountants, and all these other functions that are centralized by the chains. So number one, they provide more employment in the community. Number two, they make most of their own purchases locally. Small local businesses tend to buy things from within their local community, where they can just drive across town and pick something up. Big chains tend to buy as little as they can locally, and they just have big trucks that come in every day and deliver everything from headquarters, where all the purchasing is done centrally. So again, by buying things locally, they're recirculating the dollars that they receive into the local economy. And third, their profits are locally recirculated. If you go to a chain store and buy something, if you go to a Walmart and buy a product, at the end of the night, they push a button, and all the money that was collected that day gets like sucked up in a giant vacuum cleaner and dragged off to Little Rock, Arkansas electronically overnight, and it never comes back to the community. Some small amount of it comes back in terms of local payroll, and local taxes, but compared to the amount that goes out, it's tiny. And the profits never come back unless, you know, by coincidence you've got somebody who owns some Walmart stock living in the community, but the vast majority of that is the Walton family down in Little Rock. So the profits don't get recirculated in the local community. So what these folks did when they looked at this, and they looked at a variety of different companies, but they started with this one, and utilizing numerous sources to determine the border's impact, including interviews with former employees, the company's public records, and studies of similar stores conducted by the Bank of America. And they found these three things. And then they did another study where they compared big box retail, shopping centers, and fast food restaurants, and they determined that these three types of business actually cost taxpayers, local taxpayers, more than they produce. Fast food restaurants produced an annual net deficit of $5,168 per 1,000 square feet. So for every 1,000 square feet of a fast food restaurant in a local community, that local community is losing $5,168 in tax revenue that they would have had if there had been a local business there. Big box retail developments were a loss of $468 per 1,000 square feet, and shopping centers a loss of $314 per 1,000 square feet. Specialty retail stores, that is, these small stores, tend to generate positive returns, returning $326 per 1,000 square feet to the community. Other positive producers included business parks, offices, and hotels. So why the higher costs? The biggest expenses generated came from higher road maintenance costs and greater demand for public safety services. In other words, you got all these folks driving to these big box retailers and these chain stores and these chain vendors, and they're using the resources of the community. They're using the roads, they're using the police services, they're all of those things that go along with that, and this costs money. That money's not being recovered in taxes. So what we see is a shift in wealth away from those communities where these out of town chains are into the hands of the stockholders, basically. Now, looking at the media, back to the question, can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? You have the essentially the same thing is happening. When you have locally owned media, locally owned newspapers, locally owned radio stations, locally owned television stations, they are responsive to the local community. They're hiring people within the local community. They're recycling dollars within the local community, and they're responding to the needs and concerns and reflecting the worldview of the local community. I remember when I was young, I mean, more than 30 years ago, I hitchhiked across the United States when I was 16 or 17, and which was more than 30 years ago. And every community was different. I mean, it was an amazing experience in the 60s to hitchhike across the United States and notice how the incredible diversity that was out there. And the from food to restaurant to clothing to what you hear on the radio, it was just wonderful. Nowadays, you travel across the United States, and any community, if somebody put a blindfold on you, took you in a plane, dropped you out in a parachute and said, now tell me where you are, look around. You look around, and oh, there's the same Walmart, there's the same Rite Aid drugstore, there's the same, you know, and on it goes. So, and the same with the media. Can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? I mentioned earlier, I'll just touch on it real quickly. This is from The Guardian, the newspaper. Actually, this was a British newspaper. The Guardian is one of the four leading daily newspapers in England. And I quote, Halliburton, the Texas Oil Services Company, this is from Monday's newspaper, Halliburton, the Texas Oil Services Company, has agreed to pay a $6 million fine to settle a series of shareholder lawsuits that alleged questionable accounting practices while the company was being run by U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney. It was disclosed last week that Halliburton has $500 million worth of work in Iraq. It has earned $425 million. Now, earned, that's profit. It has earned $425 million from an Army contract to provide logistical support and $70 million for extinguishing firewells. And then they quote Henry Waxon, who says, quote, it is simply remarkable that a large company could earn so much money from the war. And they point out that Dick Cheney left with a $36 million severance package and is still receiving checks every month from Halliburton, his company that just paid a $6 million fine for alleged criminal wrongdoing. Another story, U.S. companies are operating in Iran. Again, why isn't this being widely reported? This is on the CNN Money site, which is an obscure portion of the CNN empire. Dozens of U.S. corporations are conducting business in Iran, despite a 1980 trade sanction outlawing U.S. citizens and companies from doing business there. There are 30 corporations, it turns out, that have offices and are doing business in Iran. One of the largest, Halliburton. They have an office in the Iranian capital, Tehran. A company spokesman told CNN that the subsidiary, Halliburton Products and Services, helps build drilling rigs in Iran's southern oil fields. Other companies include Caterpillar and General Electric. And the way that they got around, and then they go on to say, Halliburton paid $15,000. They say, the penalties for violating the sanctions tend to be modest. In other words, you know, these companies, if they set up their Cayman Islands subsidiaries, which are the companies that are actually doing business in Iran, simply for the purpose of evading U.S. taxes and U.S. laws that prevent companies from doing business in Iran, they would have to pay a penalty for that. And CNN's money thing says, but the penalties for violating the sanctions tend to be modest. Halliburton paid $15,000 in 1997. A mere $15,000, no doubt they were making millions on it, to settle a Commerce Department claim that it was improperly shipping oil field equipment to Iran. At the time, Dick Cheney had just come on as the company's CEO and was an outspoken critic of the sanctions against Iran. They go on to say, for decades, U.S. economic interests in Iran have been at odds with national security, particularly when oil is involved. These stories are not being broadly covered. Why? Can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? I don't think so. Rupert Murdoch, owner of Fox News, and now has just cut a deal with the Chinese government. This from The Guardian. Rupert Murdoch's Star TV has moved a step closer to fulfilling its ambition of expanding his empire into China by winning approval to beam its Chinese language channel into hundreds of thousands of homes. Well, you think that would be a great thing. You know, he's going to bring not necessarily American values. Rupert Murdoch is a British citizen. He's an Australian who converted to British citizenship and is the owner of, Sky TV and the Times of London and the Telegraph and a whole bunch of other publications in England. But you think, he's going to bring Western values or he's going to bring the idea of free enterprise, you would think. But they point out the decision marks the latest stage in a dramatic rehabilitation of Mr. Murdoch's image among Chinese leaders. 8 years ago, he incensed the ruling Communist Party when he suggested that satellite television was, quote, a threat to totalitarian regimes everywhere. Well, you would think it should be. However, the story goes on to say, he later repaired the damage to his reputation by agreeing to drop the BBC's international news channel from his satellite broadcast into China. So Rupert Murdoch is kowtowing to the Chinese, this brutal regime that just threw a whole bunch of its own people in prison for speaking out against their government, can we trust large corporate control of news and the internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? In the Nike versus Caskey case, this was the case where Nike Corporation claimed that they had the right to deceive people because they have a First Amendment right of free speech. We've talked about this at some length in the show in the past, and so I won't go through the whole recitation again. But basically, my position on this, and that of many civil libertarians and people who are concerned with First Amendment rights, is that the Bill of Rights was written for humans. And that whenever, and that in the founding of our country, there was this core idea that only humans would have human rights. And that whenever humans got together and did something, when we create an institution, whether it's a corporation, a union, a nonprofit organization, a church, a guild, a fraternal organization, or even a government, that whenever we humans create an institution, that institution does not have rights. It has privileges. We are the holders of the rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that these rights are inalienable. They can they cannot be separated from us. And so when we create institutions, they only have privileges. So one of these institutions is the corporation, and Nike comes along and says, well, no. We are a person. We are a corporate person. And we have rights under the Bill of Rights. We have the right, the First Amendment right of free speech. I don't think so. And neither did the California Supreme Court. And they ruled against Nike in this case. So Nike appealed it to the United States Supreme Court, where the case was argued last month, and the ruling will come down this month. And we will find out what the U.S. Supreme Court thinks about this. But interestingly, to bring this back to, can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, or honest? Here are some of the newspapers that filed amicus briefs, friend of the court briefs, on behalf of Nike, and that editorialized saying Nike should have free speech rights. They should have the right to lie to people. USA Today wrote a column called Let Nike Speak Up for Itself. This is a corporation. A corporation is an abstraction. It's a legal abstraction. The Wall Street Journal, swoosh goes the First Amendment. New York Times, when Nike speaks. Washington Post, free speech for Nike and let Nike speak. Chicago Sun-Times, companies like Nike have a right to self-defense. All of these newspapers refused to publish dissenting op-eds. Dave in Silverdale, Washington, has a comment on this. Welcome to the program, Dave, and thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi. And, you know, it's great to hear you talk about, I guess, the legal standing or the idea of a human being versus a corporation, because I don't think that gets nearly enough attention from democratic-minded people, in the sense that if you look at the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the word corporation, I mean, it just doesn't exist. It has no standing.
It doesn't exist as the result of a long and rancorous debate that was held during the Constitutional Convention, in which Thomas Jefferson proposed, through James Madison, that the Bill of Rights should include an 11th Amendment that says that monopolies in commerce are banned. And the other founders, or the framers who were putting together the Constitution, said, well, we don't actually need to address that because every state has laws making it against the law for corporations to own other corporations and for them to engage in monopolistic practices. And in fact, the compromise was that the word corporation doesn't even exist in the Constitution. Sorry for the interruption there, Dave.
I'm sorry?
I said, sorry for the interruption. You get me started.
Yeah, and I mean, through legal standing and basically, you know, they own the legal process, they have created this shield, because that's all corporation is. It's a shield that would shield the owners from any true accountability or responsibility. And then they show up as if, and I mean, literally, I mean, if you look on the face of you know, the modern legal decisions, the fact that with this Federal Communications decision, they totally ignored this large preponderance of response from the public, and they spent all their time consulting with these corporations who have
71 meetings.
Yeah, and so I mean, it's obvious that they want none of the responsibility or the accountability that goes with being a part of a deliberative democracy.
I agree, Dave. Can you hang on for just a second? Dave, can you hang on over the break here?
Sure.
Okay, to finish that thought, because we're up against the tyranny of the clock here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Ever done laps on a NASCAR Super Speedway? Ever been for a ride in a Goodyear Blimp? Craftsman can fix that, because right now with any Craftsman tool purchase of $35 or more, you get a chance to win a trip for four to Miami for the NASCAR Championship Weekend. Craftsman is available at Sears. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the 50 United States and the District of Columbia, 18 years or older, and 6/15/03 or when game card supplies are exhausted, whichever occurs first. See official rules posted in-store or at craftsman.com for full details, including odds and free method of entry. Void where prohibited.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. Our question this hour, can we trust large corporate control of news and the Internet to be fair, balanced, and honest? We're talking with Dave from Silverdale. Dave, I think it's important that we both make the distinction, though, that there are a lot of very honest, reputable, well-run, good members of their communities, small and medium-sized corporations, and even a few large ones, that there's really a handful. I would guess it's probably fewer than 1,000 really corrupt, very large corporations that are seeking to overthrow democracy in the United States.
And a good corporation has the opportunity, and I think the better corporations are actually very democratic in and of themselves, and they honor people, and they treat people as they're important. But the idea that these multinational corporations, or just because a corporation is a corporation, that they become some super constitutional entity. And I think people need to become sensitive to the fact that as long as they can come into my community, poison the airways with garbage ideology, or poison the water or the land, that I can't be free as long as they can do that with impunity. If there's no deliberative process where I can say, hey, this is my world, this is my community, then what is the Constitution to me? I don't have freedom of speech if my speech is not heard.
Yeah, it's the old doctrine of your right to swing your fist ends with the end of my nose. When these groups, this is a good one, Dave. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us and for hanging on over the break there to wrap that up. I appreciate it. Thanks for dropping by our radio home. Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, in an essay, it was probably actually one of his sermons, he was a Unitarian minister, an essay called Angloam. He said that in America, the old contest of feudalism and democracy renews itself here on a new battlefield. He says, it is wonderful with how much rancor and premeditation at this moment the fight is prepared. Is democracy coming to the United States? Let's hope so. We can all be part of that process. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Through a hole in the air from those ads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Homemaking and gardening expert Martha Stewart has arrived at a federal courthouse in Manhattan. Amid reports, she will be indicted today on charges of insider trading, obstruction of justice, and making false statements. CBS News reports an announcement of the indictment will be made at about 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. A landmark Mideast peace summit has concluded today in Jordan. President Bush, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas were part of the meeting that Abbas described as an important moment. President Bush said no peace process can move forward unless the violence comes to an end.
Both prime ministers here agree that progress toward peace also requires an end to violence and the elimination of all forms of hatred and prejudice and official incitement in school books, in broadcasts, and in the words used by political leaders.
Although the discussion of a so-called roadmap ended with hopes for peace in the region, the Palestinian militant group Hamas says it will not lay down its arms. Hamas senior official Mahmoud al-Zahar says the occupation must end.
The question is not whether I will go deeply in quietness.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair has faced a tough ride in the House of Commons over allegations that the government may have exaggerated claims about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. Tony Blair said all the accusations are simply false.
I suggest, instead of one anonymous source or many anonymous sources, if these people have any evidence, they actually produce it.
After a week of claims and counterclaims, the Prime Minister maintains evidence will be found and his reason for committing troops to war will be proven correct. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was up 73 points, the Nasdaq up 15, and the S&P up 9 points.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Let's read this one.
My favorite.
You want me to read your bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
Better headache relief. Advance to Advil.
Pentagon officials are denying accusations they tried to manipulate intelligence findings to beef up claims that Iraqi weapons posed a threat to the U.S. In Baghdad, the U.S. military is digging up a site where former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein may have been killed during an April 7th bombing raid. A Senate panel has put FCC Chairman Michael Powell in the hot seat over the agency's decision to loosen media ownership rules. During a hearing of the Senate Commerce Committee, South Carolina Democrat Ernest Hollings says the move amounted to maneuvering the People's Public Interest Commission into an instrument of greed.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
A cloud of doubt has fallen over home run hero and Chicago Cubs player Sammy Sosa after he was thrown out of last night's game for using an illegal bat. The discovery of the bat also cost the team a run. Sosa says the corked bat was not intended for use in the game. New York Senator Hillary Clinton says she worked very hard on her new book scheduled to come out within days. Speaking to reporters outside Senate chambers, Clinton said it is my story and that she talks about the good times and the not-so-good times.
I hope when people read the whole book that they will see that many of the policies that my husband's administration pursued were good for our country. And in just 2.5 years, we've gone in the wrong direction on so many fronts.
She said the book was written in the tradition of former first ladies who write about their time in the White House, although she said her book is about her life from the time she was a little girl. ABC News' Barbara Walters will be interviewing Clinton about the book on Sunday. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish. Not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. We're on the air. We have our question for this hour. Has big business taken over the U.S. military, and what can we do about it? We have a special guest, Frank Durrell, who is the producer. I'm not sure exactly the title of What I've Learned About U.S. Foreign Policy, The World Against the War Against the Third World, an extraordinary and striking documentary, and the publisher of Addicted to War, Why the U.S. Can't Kick Militarism Out. Frank, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Tom.
Hi. Hey, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
I am pleased to have you here. Your video was startling and very well done. Just a kind of a side question. You've got some footage in there of Martin Luther King. Is his family loosening up a little bit on letting his material out now?
Well, I think in this case, you know, this is what Martin Luther King believed in. So
yeah.
I think a lot of people have used his name or his image to sell products.
Yeah.
But in here, you know, he's talking about the war in Vietnam and how it was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to live in Atlanta, and the family was really cracking down on folks. And I thought, you know, his speeches were so brilliant. This man is one of the most brilliant thinkers and orators of the 20th century.
And, without doubt.
You know, it just right across the board. I mean, just even beyond racial issues, he's just a genius. And I think so many people now, it's been so many years, that a lot of people are kind of stuck on thinking of him as somebody who was only working for civil rights, and his breadth was way beyond that. But Martin Luther King is not the focus of your movie. He was just he's in it, and you point out in Addicted to War in this book illustrated by Joel Andreas,
written and illustrated by Joel Andreas.
Oh, okay, great. It doesn't. It simply says illustrated on the cover. I wasn't quite sure of that. It points out that of the discretionary federal budget, 51.6% goes to the military, 6.7% to education. Can you give us a little broader picture of that? Do you have any more recent statistics or information on that?
Not really. Just, you know, that we're spending more than half our money on the military.
Right.
And we're not spending enough money on schools, on children, on the elderly, on the poverty, on, you know, fixing our country and helping people here.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize this.
What do you mean when you say addicted to war?
Well, that's the title Joel has, you know, chosen for his book, Addicted to War, Why the U.S. Can't Kick Militarism. And I think it means that war in the military-industrial complex is the engine of our this society. It's what our society is built around, especially since the end of World War II. They wanted to keep the war machine going, and they did. They have, and they have to have wars to keep it going, unfortunately, which means that innocent people die.
Go ahead.
You know, so I'm sure this is what you talk about all the time and understand quite well. But since they own the media, the mainstream media, they're able to spin it off as we're always fighting evil, and this is we have to do this and protect our freedom and democracy, and a lot of people will accept this or believe this or buy it.
But Frank, aren't we often fighting evil?
Aren't we often fighting evil?
Yeah, I mean, aren't there? Are you suggesting? Let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. I think that it's important to do so to get these discussions really well aired. You're not suggesting that there are not states or people who run states out there who would seek to harm us or cause great damage to others in the world, are you?
No, I'm not saying there aren't other bad leaders or countries who have done bad. Of course, this is a history of the world.
Right.
Unfortunately, many of these leaders the United States has put into power or helped support, such as Saddam Hussein. And anybody, you know, I work with the Veteran for Peace. I am a veteran, Veteran for Peace. And our, when people bring this up, we always say, hey, let's not put these kind of people in power and let's not support them. Support leaders around the world that are helping their own. And it would be much better public relations for the United States to do that. But that isn't the history.
Did you see the report in the... Go ahead. Did you see the report in the paper today about how Musharraf, the leader of Pakistan, is suddenly finding himself in an uncomfortable position because the largest of the southeastern provinces, the one that borders against Afghanistan of Pakistan, has just voted for Sharia, for Islamic law, and putting women under the veil, bringing back a Taliban-style government. They're virulently anti-American. And he doesn't seem to have the power or ability to challenge them on the one hand. And on the other hand, you know, this is what the people voted for overwhelmingly. Should they have the right to determine that? Or is this all the outcome of the kind of distortions that we have put in place by our imperialist powers, you know, not just ours, I mean, European imperialism back in the Middle East and Pakistan and India, going all the way back to the 18th century. What are your thoughts on that?
I think what you said is probably true. Yeah. That we've been interfering with these countries all over the world for so long and involved in ways the CIA has, some of the covert operations, which are part of the video that the CIA has done in these countries, which are just dirty tricks. They do operations that distort what's happening, get people to believe something that isn't true, and back it up with actions that aren't always real. I think our policies have caused a lot of this.
And yet we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, we have to have a military. We have to have some sort of defense. How do we determine what's appropriate? 51% of our federal budget now is going to the military. What percentage should be?
Well, a lot less than that. I mean, we have apparently now, we spend more on the military than the next 25 countries in the world combined. And
combined?
Yes, and that's the latest numbers I've heard. It's getting more, you know, and I think we spend more than one-third of the money spent on this earth, what the United States spends on the military.
Right.
And, I, you know, as a member of Veterans for Peace and a peace activist, we think that money could be, we're not advocating, you know, disbanding the military or anything. But we're saying the people that are in charge in this country are not doing the right thing, and they haven't been. They represent big money and big business, and they're blind to what they're doing. Now, some of them, I think, maybe know what they're doing, and then I would almost call that evil. But most people aren't. They just go along with what the program is and believe what they're being told. And these stories come right out of the Pentagon and the CIA that we see every day in the papers and here on TV. And thank God for the alternative media such as yourself. But most people don't listen to the alternative media or read the alternative media. So I guess everything I'm doing is trying to reach more people to seeing there's another truth going on here that we're not being told.
Okay. Frank, we're talking to Frank Durrell. Am I pronouncing that right, Frank?
It's Doral.
Doral, thank you.
Most people do call me Frank Durrell, so don't.
Okay,
you know.
We're talking to Frank Doral, who is the video compiler, the producer of What I've Learned About U.S. Foreign Policy, the War Against the Third World, and the publisher of the Addicted to War book. And Frank, is there a website that you have that we can point people to?
Yes, our website is addictedtowar.com. Title of the book.
That's easy to remember. AddictedToWar.com. And Frank, it's 16 minutes after the hour here on the Tom Hartman radio program. Frank, has business taken over the U.S. military? And, you know, I assume that you've heard Dwight Eisenhower's farewell address. I played it on the show last week.
Yes,
and,
I have.
You know, in that he said that prior to World War II, there was no permanent defense industry in the United States whatsoever. That the weapons industry, the people who manufactured guns for domestic use, for hunting and things like that. To use his phrase, he said, our manufacturers of swords could always go back to making plowshares. And now, he says, as a result of World War II and the Cold War, we have this military-industrial complex, which is unprecedented in the history of the United States. It has never existed before. And he said, we have to be concerned and be ever vigilant about the undue influence in all realms of our lives, in the spiritual realm, in the financial realm, in the political realm, of the military-industrial complex. Do you believe, and if so, do you have anything to back it up, that the growth of the military has been driven not by legitimate national defense needs, but rather by corporations that have infiltrated government? They've got their tentacles into the government to the point where they can drive the agenda of what government is purchasing?
I think that's absolutely the case. I don't think there's any doubt about it that big business runs this country, it's all interwoven with the military-industrial complex and the media, and they have the money to do this, and they're doing it, and they need wars to keep it going. And also, big business is trying to control and attempt to control the natural resources of the planet. That's really what they're doing in these countries. And they spin it off as, you know, fighting evil and fighting communism, now fighting terrorism. But
what's the hope here, Frank? We have to have hope. There's got to be something that people can do.
The hope is that enough people in this country can wake up and see through this, what I call, and a lot of people would call, the big lie, and see through it and get involved, you know, get educated. That's what we're offering, is educational tools, the book and the video. There's many other great books out there and many great videos, and they're in the alternative media, and for people to learn these things. The problem is it's not fun to know. It's not you're kind of marginalized when you start saying these things. Your friends don't want to hear it, because most people are really just dealing with their own life and trying to get by, and this is kind of a big issue, and it's like, well, too much for me. There's all these various things people can say about why they don't want to get involved here.
It's not exciting. It's not sexy.
I believe there's more people now than ever in the history of this country that are getting involved and are understanding and have gone out in the streets during the last invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan before that. And that's the hope. And we're just, the people I work with, we're just trying to help wake up more people, good people, to stand up, to understand this information, to have, to respond to it by the shock and horror of it, and to be maybe angry or to be depressed, but then to get involved and
right.
to say, so, we can do something. It is our country. We don't have to allow it to continue.
Great. But thank you, Frank. Frank Dorrell, who is the producer of What I've Learned and director and what compiler of What I've Learned About U.S. Foreign Policy, the War Against the Third World, a great video, and the publisher of the book Addicted to War. You can learn more about it at addictedtowar.com. Frank, thank you very much for being on our program today. I appreciate it very much. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Woody Allen said, "I believe there's something out there watching over us. Unfortunately, it's the government. More specifically, it's TIA, the Total Information Awareness Surveillance System being run by John Poindexter. He's the infamous felon who was convicted of lying to Congress about his illegal role in the Iran-Contra scandal. Full of arrogance, he even declared that it was his, quote, duty to lie. Now, Poindexter is back as the Dr. Strangelove of the Pentagon. TIA is a new super snooper agency that's creating a massive computerized network that can electronically snoop through the millions of personal transactions that we make daily, compiling secret profiles about our actions and storing all of this in what they call, quote, a virtual centralized grand database. It's Big Brother incarnate. In addition to all of our financial, medical, and other private data, TIA also wants to collect a database of our personal identifying characteristics, not only including fingerprints, but also a new bit of personal data, the way we walk. Orwell would love this. It seems that we all have unique movements as we walk, what the surveillance industry calls gait signatures. So, with Pentagon funding, researchers at Georgia Tech are using radar, video, and computers to develop a system that will let Poindexter's TIA record and store in its grand database our individual gates. Yet another way for Big Brother to keep watch over us. Of course, Poindexter asserts that this is all about chasing terrorists and that we innocent citizens should have no concern that we might end up in his computer. But wait a minute. How do they define terrorist? And isn't this the guy who says it's his duty to lie to us? This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop this latest Strangelovian intrusion into our privacy, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-483-1140.
is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. A couple of small things here I want to deal with before we get to the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to get into what's more important to you, tax cuts or a balanced budget. I'm curious to know what you think about that. Our chat room, by the way, you go to tomhartman.com, click through to the radio show page, and there's a link to the chat room on there. It's the we're using the chat room on CompuServe's trade forum. Just click the chat button. In today's Wall Street Journal, this is a neocon alert. And this guy, I want to find him and see if he wants to buy a bridge. He says, the headline is, "Those upset by our study simply shout bias." And he says, in your May 16th Marketplace article, "Passive smoke doesn't kill, or does it?" Now, let me just give you a little background. You probably heard about this. It got a lot of play in the American media. And I remember when I first saw this in the newspaper thinking, this is really strange. Because the story that I read about this study in the science press, I subscribe to several science publications. The story that I read in the science press was that these guys had gotten a bunch of money from Philip Morris, had done this quote, study, end quote, and concluded that passive smoke doesn't kill people. And when they submitted it to the New England Journal of Medicine and the American Journal of Epidemiology, which would be the appropriate places for such a study to be published, both rejected it. Said, we're not going to publish that. So that was kind of the story behind the story. And yet, American newspapers, and this is the story, this is how it was reported in the science press, in the American newspapers, it got play. It was like, well, of course, I mean, I'm sure the tobacco companies were churning out news releases about it, or whispering in the ears of their friends in big corporate media. And the story, and there's probably a lot of people who read this and who believe it, the story was, passive smoke doesn't kill people. Now, this was one study that contradicts literally hundreds of studies that have been done over a half a century showing that inhaling any kind of particulate matter can cause health problems. I mean, people who work in flour mills get health problems. So anyhow, this guy writes in to the Wall Street Journal, and he says, in your May 16 Marketplace article, "Passive Smoke Doesn't Kill or Does It?" concerning the controversy over the recent UCLA study, the suggestion is made that the investigation is biased because of the relationship between the study's author and Philip Morris. Nothing is mentioned of the potential bias of the study's critics, e.g., the American Cancer Society or the International Agency for Research on Cancer. Isn't this very strange? The guy is concerned that the American Cancer Society has a bias. And, well, their bias is pretty clear. They're opposed to cancer. And so is the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And because they have a bias, their criticism of his study funded by Philip Morris is not legitimate. Because they don't like cancer. He goes on to say, I suspect that the New England Journal of Medicine and the American Journal of Epidemiology rejected this study not because of peer review questions, but because of peer pressure and these journals' devotion to political correctness. Yes, I am sure. Our neocon alert for the day goes to the author of a letter to the editor to today's Wall Street Journal, a man to whom I would love to sell a bridge. This is extraordinary. Another one, this from Matt Labash, or Labash, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. He is a conservative author, and he was interviewed recently on a website called journalismjobs.com. He was talking about why conservative media outlets have become popular. He says it's because we feed the rage, we've created a cottage industry, it's a great little racket. Interesting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Talk radio for the rest of us.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Pioneer in the environmental justice movement says the dumping of waste follows patterns of race and class. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Members of minority groups are more likely to live near facilities that handle and store hazardous waste, according to Bernice Miller Travis, an advocate for environmental justice.
People of color in this country and low-income communities bear a disproportionate environmental burden, meaning that most of the country's waste facilities, landfills, radioactive waste containment centers, you name it, are in places where people of color and poor people live.
Miller Travis has been speaking on the subject for years. She helped write a groundbreaking report in 1987 called Toxic Waste and Race in the United States.
We looked at the location of uncontrolled and controlled hazardous waste sites, that is, Superfund sites and sites on the national priorities list. And we used EPA's database from roughly 1984 to 1986, and we found that there was virtually a one-to-one relationship between the presence of residential communities of color and the location of those sites.
Miller Travis says poor and minority communities suffer higher incidences of cancer, asthma, and other environment-related diseases. But she says many people simply don't know that society's waste hurts some communities more than others.
The average person doesn't know anything about it because all we know is that we put our garbage in the garbage can, we put it on the curb, somebody picks it up, and we never see it again. It doesn't evaporate. You know, it goes somewhere, and that somewhere is usually where people of color and poor people live.
That's environmental justice advocate Bernice Miller Travis. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Any topic you'd like to talk about is fine. We're in our first hour, we were asking, has big business taken over the U.S. military, and what can we do about it? And in this half hour, I'd like to ask the question, what's more important to you, tax cuts or a balanced budget? I'm really curious what the sense is out there, and put that question also to folks in our chat room. What's more important to you, a tax cut or a balanced budget? We have the situation right now where this is from yesterday's Washington Post. Under mounting political pressure, senators from both parties yesterday rushed to introduce legislation to expand the child tax credit so it will apply to nearly 12 million poor children who were left out of the $350 billion tax cut measure signed last week. So here's what happened. The Senate had, you know, put together this tax cut legislation, and they had to do all these little contortions and weird. Oh, the tax credit, you know, we're going to give the credit, give them $1,000 this year, and then give them $600, and then give them $400, and then give them, and they up and down and all over the place, and things sunsetting and ending, and so that over the 10-year period, the total amount would not seem as large as it actually would be if all of these things actually happened consistently for a full 10 years. I mean, this is really about an $800 billion tax cut if the sunset provisions get removed from these various items. And so in the process of all this jamming and squeezing and popping and pulling and trying to, you know, these contortions that were done largely to satisfy Olympia Snow and the guy Voinovich, George Voinovich, the moderate Republicans, because they could ignore the Democrats in this case. They had the majority, and Dick Cheney cast the tie vote. In order to satisfy these moderate Republicans, they had to get down to this $350 billion figure, and so they did all this strange stuff. And in the process, the Democrats had put together had put forward a proposal that, well, if you're going to cut taxes for people, why don't you cut taxes for people who have kids, who earn, you know, between $20,000 and $50,000 or somewhere in that range. I don't have the exact numbers right in front of you. It's somewhere in there. And also, they managed to leave out any tax cut for 200,000 military families. So we've got about 12 million people who actually are paying taxes. It's interesting. I was watching, I think it was Crossfire on CNN the other day, and one of these right-wing guys, he says, well, these people don't pay taxes, so why should they get money back? Well, in fact, that's a lie. I'm sorry, it's just a lie. I mean, you got to call these words for what they are. They may not pay income taxes, because income taxes are paid by people who tend to make more money. But they're certainly paying payroll taxes. They're certainly paying sales taxes. They're paying taxes every time they buy anything. If they own a home, they're paying property taxes. If they don't own a home, they're paying property taxes via rent. They're paying a lot of taxes. Anyhow, let me pause that rant in midstream because Ed in Dayton is on the line. The number to call if you'd like to be on the show, by the way, is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 825-5937. Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, I'm calling because I wanted to respond about your question about taxes and the deficit.
Wonderful.
And, my idea is that let them do whatever they want with the income tax as long as it applies only to people who make over $50,000 a year, and they outlaw sales taxes on any item that costs less than $100 nationwide.
Hmm. I'm confused, Ed. By let them do...
What I mean is that the taxes... we should have a balanced budget, but I think the best way to give the American people a tax cut is to outlaw sales taxes on any item that costs less than $100 nationwide.
Oh, I see. So if we're going to reduce people's taxes, let's reduce the most regressive tax, which is the consumption tax.
They should.
Because everybody
pays
that.
Perfectly happy if they completely did away with sales taxes entirely. But my only fear about them. That the federal government has already cut off all the states in the union from getting any of the money back that comes from those state citizens, which is why nearly every state is either in deficit spending or about to go bankrupt, depending on whether or not they fell for the whole balanced budget amendment trap.
Right, or raising taxes.
They're all raising taxes like crazy. Well, I live in Ohio, and we have a Republican government here. The governor's a Republican. Both houses of the state legislature are Republican. And they're doing everything they can to not raise taxes because it doesn't fit in with their you know, a vaunted political philosophy, but what they're doing is they're cutting services. They're cutting back on money to schools, money for everything that serves the public. They're trying to limit people's access to disability and workers' compensation and all those kinds of things too.
Yeah, the social safety net, as it were, is being shredded right now all across the United States. Education is being rolled back. I mean, we had this situation in Oregon where parents actually went and gave blood, sold blood in order to raise enough money to pay for a teacher's salary.
Yeah, that's I'm a teacher myself, and I just find that absolutely, that's just galling.
Yeah,
it's absolutely galling.
So
the people
Ed,
who can least afford to pay are the ones who are paying the most.
Yeah. So Ed in Dayton, we clearly don't have a balanced budget now. I mean, we have a budget that's going to be $400 billion more or less in debt at the end of the year, and probably much larger than that. And we've had three tax cuts now in 3 years in this administration, which has led us into this huge deficit and kicked our national debt up $1 trillion. Do you have a problem with taxes, income taxes being raised back to where they were 3 years ago?
No, they need to be raised. They need to be raised dramatically. They need to revise the tax code so that it's identical to the way it was when Eisenhower was president.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you, Ed. Thank you very much for joining us in our radio home here today on the Tom Hartman program. I appreciate your call. This is a real issue. I mean, there's this belief out there among politicians, I think on both sides of the aisle, that people are not willing to pay taxes. And my sense of it is, from talking to people, is that people value living in a democracy. They value having police and fire and schools that work, and they value having a decent quality of life. They're willing to pay part of their income to have that. Bill in Illinois, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the program.
Tom?
Hey, Bill.
I'll be doggone. Finally get to talk to you after all this time.
You're on the air, yeah.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. I caught his last bit, and the tax structures need to go to pre-Reagan days. Especially with the corporations and the wealthy elite. This tax cut for the wealthy, Warren Buffett summed it up so eloquently in saying, if this tax thing goes through, I can go from paying 30%, which I did last year, to 1% simply by tossing my profits in the dividends.
Right.
And that is crazy, okay? You take Warren Buffett times all the other people just like him, you add it together, you're talking trillions of dollars over a number of years.
Yeah, you've got these, to use a metaphor from the Reagan era that Rush loved to wave around, you've got these welfare queens, that is, these heiresses and heirs who are multimillionaires as a consequence of something that their parents, grandparents, or somebody else did, who are basically sitting on their butts in front of the TV eating chocolates while their dividend checks are coming. And the way that they earn their living is from dividends, and now their taxes are being slashed down to 15% with no payroll tax, and it's mind-boggling. Bill,
it's
thank you very much.
Absolutely pathetic.
Oh, you wanted to continue?
Actually, no. I guess I'll leave it at that. I think it's crazy that we got a $6.5 trillion national debt. Our deficit is going up instead of down. And yet they're giving all these tax cuts. They need to start doing some taxation, and they need to do it on the people that are the most wealthy and most can afford to pay, not on the little guys and cutting out the little guys. That's insane.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening. I appreciate it very much. In our chat room, one of the people comments, I would rather the money go to getting people off the streets and off drugs and getting people into jobs and fixing the medical system and education than have it go to tax cuts. And there's a lively discussion going on about that. So we have this situation now where the child tax credit, this is a question that I think is really worthy of exploration. This child tax credit got left out. And there are folks on one side who are saying that it got left out because the Republicans are cold-hearted, nasty people. I don't believe that. I think it was a screw-up. But, you know, who knows? That millions of families got left out of this thing, and most of them in the middle class to low middle class, the working poor to the middle class. And This is not the very poorest who got left out. They actually were provided for, I guess. And so now there's this rush, this bipartisan rush, both the Republicans and the Democrats, to amend the tax legislation to put these people back in, to give more cash back to families with children. And I'm wondering, number one, if this happens, will it be exploited by the folks who are just, who are, in my opinion, trying to spend our country into bankruptcy because they know they can't get a consensus that they should, that we should do away with Social Security? See, I think that there is this group of people who are ideologically certain. They absolutely believe that Social Security is socialism, it's a terrible thing, that the government has no right involving itself in literally transferring wealth, taking money from the rich and giving it to the poor, that the government shouldn't do that. But there's a broad consensus in the United States that if for no other reason than the purely selfish one, that we don't want to step over people when we walk out of our house, that we don't want people sleeping on the streets, we don't want them shooting up in the gutters, we don't want the crazy people running around in the streets, we'd rather they were, you know, had access to appropriate treatment and therapy. I'm on the roster of psychotherapists here in the state of Vermont. Crazy people is not the right term, but you know what I'm talking about. Reagan shut down the mental hospitals around the country, and suddenly we had a homeless problem that didn't exist before the Reagan administration, or hadn't existed since the 1930s. And there are people, I think the broad consensus in America is we are willing to pay. We have received the blessings of democracy and the free enterprise system, and we're willing to give something back in order to have a decent quality of life. We're willing to pay something in taxes in order to make sure that those among us who absolutely don't have the ability at least are not destitute. I don't think anybody is suggesting that there should be, you know, welfare forever for lazy people. The most wild-eyed liberal, I don't think, is suggesting that. Although the conservatives want to paint it that way. They want to paint it as a black and white thing. It's not that way. So anyhow, we got people are in favor of Social Security. People are in favor of a social safety net in the United States. And the conservatives know that they can't, on the front end, honestly, come to the American people with a question like, what's more important to you, tax cuts or a balanced budget? They can't come to the American people and say, we're going to do away with Social Security. We're going to do away with social safety net. We're going to convert all of our public schools to for-profit schools. We're going to hand education over to the corporations. We're going to turn our prisons into for-profit prisons. We're going to hand that over to the corporations. We're going to corporatize our police services. We're going to corporatize our military. We now have mercenaries, you know. We're going to corporatize our vote. We're going to turn all of our voting apparatus over to private corporations. If they were to just come out and say what they're up to, people would bounce them out on their butts so fast. So they have come up with Plan B after 50 years of trying to promote this and failing over and over and over again. They come up with Plan B. And Plan B is, let's bankrupt the government. The analysis that was in the Washington Post yesterday is that the current tax cuts, the last 3 years of tax cuts, are going to lead to a $44 trillion debt in this country. That's $440,000 per working family, per employee in the United States, per working person in the United States. And that debt is going to be so great, it is going to crush the government of the United States. These people, in my opinion, are anti-democratic. They want to return us to a Dickensian world, a feudal world. And they can't do it, honestly. They can't do it right up front. Occasionally they'll dance around the edge. Well, you know, the wealthiest people pay the most taxes, so they should get the best part of the tax break. Well, Yeah, they do pay the most taxes, but as a percentage of their income, they actually don't. Poor people pay the most taxes. Because the burden of sales tax and property tax falls on them so much more heavily. Wage taxes, payroll tax. So is this, should the Democrats be rushing to embrace the Republicans and say, yeah, let's include this 12 million poor children and this 12 million middle-class children who were left out of the tax cut? Or will they get a gotcha? And here's the gotcha. Grassley, Charles Grassley, the Republican, yesterday said that if the Democrats will vote with the Republicans to extend this aid to these children, and it's supposed to be a $3.5 billion deal, he's going to turn that thing into an $80 billion deal. Grassley was using a token amount of aid to the poor to justify another large tax cut, according to the Washington Post. He did not deny the charge. He said, maybe I'm trying to take advantage of a political uproar to get as much permanence as I can and be as expansive as I can. This is the danger. You're with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40x60 for under $13,000 or a 60x200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. 96 Steel today.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine. A bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.intheseTimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
She is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan Ji La is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan Ji La.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Hi,
truth seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tax share set to rise, according to the Washington Post. In today's Washington Post, an article says that as critics of the tax cuts in 2001, 2002, and 2003 have noticed, the very wealthiest Americans, those earning $337,000 or more a year, will be the greatest beneficiaries of the changes in the tax. And in fact, people earning more than $28,000 but less than $337,000, and I quote, will end up paying a greater share of the taxes than they did before the changes. Richard in New Mexico, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What do you think of this?
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for taking this call.
Well, thank you, Richard, for calling.
I've been very concerned lately about the abuse of language. And one of the things that I've noticed with this regime that's in power now, and it really started with Reagan, is the perversion of the term conservative and liberal.
Yes,
and
amen.
How, basically, what these people are people, they want to destroy government and corporatize everything. That makes them fascist.
By definition of Benito Mussolini.
They are not conservatives. They are not Republicans. They are fascists. They want everything in the hands of corporations in collusion with the government to take away individual rights, and they are evil people.
Well, I think that we should, number one, let our readers know that, or listeners know that the definition of fascism, as defined by Benito Mussolini, and he wrote the definition for the 1931 Italian dictionary, or encyclopedia rather, was a merging of state and business interests. And so you're absolutely right. Frankly, though, I don't think that these are evil people. I really think that these people believe that they're doing the right thing and that they're misguided. I really think that they somewhere along the line, they got it. They got this notion that the free market is the Messiah, is the savior of America. And you know, 220 years of evidence shows that the free market has to be constrained by government, that there's a dynamic tension between fascism and democracy.
Exactly. And between capitalism and democracy.
Yeah, exactly. Richard, thank you very much for your call. We're up against the end of the show here. I appreciate your calling in, though. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.